Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to start the show by talking about finding your purpose in life and what it can mean. There's some research out there that purpose in life can reduce stress. It can lower your risk of a long list of illnesses. And we'll find out more about that as we talk with Dr. Stacy Schaefer, who is a neuroscientist and leader of the midlife development in the United States Neuroscience Project. It's at UW-Madison's Institute of Aging. And as we talk with her, I hope you can join in, and I hope you will. Wondering about, have you thought whether or not you've thought much about your own purpose in life? Have you struggled with that a little bit? Do you have some things to share in that area? What are your experiences, or maybe what are your questions? Give a call. Number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Stacy Schaefer, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you lead this midlife development in the United States Neuroscience Project, which I must say is a mouthful.
It is.
But it's what is the acronym MIDUS?
MIDUS, yeah. MIDUS. So midlife in the U.S. is the acronym.
So tell us about the project.
Yeah, so the Neuroscience Project is just one of many projects in the larger MIDUS study. And this year is MIDUS's 30th year anniversary. So this is a large, longitudinal, national study that's been going on for 30 years, where we've been following the same people for 30 years, tracking their life experiences, their emotions, their bodies in terms of their health and their well-being, and as well as their brains. And so we're looking at all aspects of the person to really determine what are the factors that contribute to healthy aging as people grow older, and good experiences, and what actually contributes to vulnerability to disease, early mortality, et cetera. So it's really understanding how people grow old, healthily or not healthily, and really with a focus on midlife from basically 25 to 75. And now as we keep following people older on into advanced age.
It's a great project. I was thinking, just a total aside, I was involved in something called Project Talent out of California, where they took we went through a week's battery of tests in high school, and then they followed us over our lifetime for 30 years, I think it was. It was really interesting. And they shared data and information with us, which is really, really cool. Well, now, this started 30 years ago, and you're not old enough to have been there at the beginning. So how did you get involved in this?
Yeah, so I got involved as a postdoc when MIDUS was at its second follow-up of the core sample. So MIDUS has folded more people into the study over time, because the goal has always been to follow people who are between the ages of 25 to 75. And you can imagine, as time passes, they're getting on it, and we no longer have people who are still in those younger decades. So I got involved when it was the second follow-up of the core sample, called MIDUS 2, around 2010. And gradually took over more leadership roles in the neuroscience project. And MIDUS has multiple projects, like I said. So there is a large survey where they get a host of sociodemographics and psychological and experiential information. There's a daily diary project run by people at Penn State, where they get their daily experiences, their stresses, as well as, for example, saliva, so we can measure their cortisol responses throughout the day. There's also a biomarker project, so people come to, for example, UW Hospital or Georgetown Hospital and do full clinical workups so that we can know how their physiology is, and also get more biomarkers to assess cardiovascular function, immune function, etc. There's the neuroscience project. We also have a genetics project. And so all this information is also combined with a cognitive project, too, led by people at Brandeis University. And so through a lot of collaborations with different expertise, we can learn how everything works together to really see what are the relationships here. And there's several thousand papers that have come out of this study over time. So a lot of different kind of information learned.
It's good to know that these aren't little silos that people across all these various areas, obviously, are working together, too,
right.
and for the total. And your own research is focused on how people's health and well-being is determined by emotional and social interaction with others over the course of a person's life. Wow.
Yeah, we actually look at people's emotional responses in the laboratory. So our participants who are providing all this information come into the laboratory. We show them pictures that evoke emotional responses, record their bodily responses as well as their brain responses in an MRI scanner. So we can look at how people's typical emotional responses and kind of the time course of that emotional response relates to other aspects of their health, well-being, how it changes with age, how it relates to brain health, and more.
So is the research, let me put it this way. For a long time, I think therapists, coaches, gurus have talked about the importance of the mind-body connection.
Right.
And is the research you're doing providing scientific evidence of that idea?
Yes. So we have studies linking how your heart rate variability, your blood pressure variability, and other aspects of your cardiovascular function are related to your brain health, for instance, and how your brain may show changes with age or actually not show changes with age. And so if you have better cardiovascular health, for instance, such as higher levels of blood pressure variability. This is very short, beat-to-beat blood pressure variability. We actually see that you have a younger relative brain compared to your chronological age. And you can imagine how your cardiovascular health is related to other aspects of your health, like emotional health, your ability to cope with stress, et cetera.
So if you have higher levels of purpose in life...
Yeah.
You're less likely to be dead 10 years later.
Yes.
Is that not the crux of it, but is...
Yeah, so there's a lot of studies out there from using MIDAS data from our MIDAS participants, as well as other studies around the world, actually. There's, for example, a meta-analysis of over 100,000 people, where if you have higher levels of purpose in life, your risk of mortality is reduced. And in the MIDAS study, where they were following, are following people initially between the ages of 25 to 75 and following them over time, what we saw was that those people who had higher levels of purpose in life were less likely to be passed away at the next follow-up. And it didn't matter if they were in their 70s, 50s, 40s, or 20s, that there seems to be something protective across adulthood.
Yeah. You know, maybe we should define, or how do you define purpose in life?
Yeah, so that's defined largely by a set of questions developed by Dr. Carol Riff, who is the overall leader of the midlife in the U.S. MIDAS study. Her primary focus throughout her research has been looking at psychological well-being and different factors that comprise psychological well-being, and one of them is purpose in life. And so we use self-report measures, simple scales where people answer a series of questions, and very simple questions are asked to get different levels of purpose in life. Things like, I enjoy making plans for the future and working towards making them a reality. Or, I feel like I have goals and direction in my life. And so a simple list of seven questions like that, people will rate how much they agree or disagree with them. And that simple scale is what's predicting so many of these important outcomes.
Seems like a pretty, you'd look at that and say, how's that going to be predictive? But
yeah.
Well, so how, and it extends, does it change over time with individuals? That's something that interested me. I wondered, you know, if you're 20, what's your purpose in life versus when you're 50 or whatever.
Right. Clearly, your purpose in life has to be adaptive, right? Because we go through different life stages, life transitions. And so, for example, I'll bring up my own story of when I had my son, my purpose in life shifted to him completely, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I still was working full time, but my purpose was very much giving my son the best upbringing and start to his life that he could, you know, I could provide. And he's now 15 and, you know, starting to be an adolescent, or not starting to be, he's definitely an adolescent, and no longer needs me so much. So my purpose has to shift a bit from my son to other things. And for people who are retiring or have other life transitions, clearly we need to have kind of a flexible adaptation of what our purpose is. It can be our job. It can be getting up and helping others. It can, there's many things that can drive our purpose. But it's good for it to be able to flexibly adapt as we go through different life changes and life stages.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Our guest, Dr. Stacy Schaefer, neuroscientist, and she is the leader of the MIDAS Neuroscience Project at UW-Madison's Institute of Aging. So, questions for her. I hope you'll join in, or maybe an experience to share. As we talk, maybe your own purpose in life or how it might change, or maybe you have, you wish you had a better, you know, sometimes I think people, you know, say, well, how the heck did I wind up here or there?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to that in a minute, but just a reminder, you can join in too at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. We're talking about purpose in life and some great research, very interesting research that's going on regarding that topic. Dr. Stacy Schaefer, our guest, she's a neuroscientist, leader of the Midlife Development in the U.S. Neuroscience Project at UW-Madison's Institute of Aging. I've been doing some really interesting research. Questions or comments, or maybe your own experience to share, again, give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. I started out at one point, I wanted to be a marketing guy, and I thought Oscar Mayer would be a great place to do it. And then I took a radio class, and my radio professor had a radio show here at WPR, and he was leaving for the summer and didn't have anybody to do his half-hour show. And so he asked me if I'd be interested in a master's degree, whereupon I could do his kind of do that work. And here I still, here I am all these years later. So I kind of fell into things. It feels like I fell into things along the way.
But you seem to know what to do with it, right? So you found meaning in it, and you clearly have thrived.
Yeah, I guess. No, I've feel very blessed, but I sometimes am, you know, you do have a little bit of, how did I ever get so lucky as to wind up in, you know, doing the kinds of things that I've done, teaching and advising students and then hosting a radio show every day. You wonder, how did it ever happen?
It sounds like a good life with lots of purpose, to be honest.
Well, part of my life was helping others, you know. I'm a teacher, and can your purpose in life be helping others in some way, or can it be a desired personal achievement?
It can be both. So it really depends on the person, what they find meaningful, and what gives them purpose. But for a lot of people, it is driven by, in some way, serving or providing help to others. So you can read, for example, just the daily news often, and it's shocking to me how many times people who may not live in the world that I do, where the people talk about purpose in life, but they describe their own purpose and losing it and finding it. And often it'll be stories of, for example, volunteering or finding some other way to help others, mentoring, that really directs people and provides their lives with meaning.
Wow. Deborah in Fox Valley, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling, Deborah.
Hi, Larry. This is Deborah. I just wanted to share quickly, when I heard Dr. Schaefer speak, I thought, yeah, light bulb went on in my head, and I thought, I got to share this. And for 6 years, I was a caregiver for a very loyal and responsible man. And what I did for him was provide every possible health. I went to a lot of specialists with him. And the first thing I did was take him to a hearing specialist. And then we went to the thyroid specialist together. And he had a heart condition as well as a diseased thyroid. And so I just want to share how much this affects my emotional health when he passed away on October 9th. And, now it was like he was my project for 6 years, and I have to find a new project.
You know what? 60 years, Deborah?
Six years.
Okay, sorry.
That's really touching. You know, good for you for providing help for him. And I think what you're relaying is what a lot of people experience, a lot of caretakers, for instance, where they're devoting so much time and effort helping others. And I hope that you can find another good project to provide purpose and meaning for you. There's a lot of people out there who need help. So there's lots of opportunities.
I wasn't going to mention this, but my brother died on Christmas Eve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my brother Dennis, did the same thing that you did for a guy who was a paraplegic, and then went on after that man died to serve many people over the rest of his life.
Wow.
So he found his purpose that way, and something I could never have done. For sure. So Deborah, maybe now she's looking for a new one. So what's her process? What would her process be like? I mean, let's use her as an example. Here's somebody who spent 6 years doing something very purposeful, helping a man.
So I have to admit, this is not my area of expertise, is helping people provide their purpose. I study
how... But
you
can talk about what people have done.
Yeah, so there's really some useful resources online, for instance. I like what Harvard Health or the Greater Good at Berkeley. You, for example, if you were to Google, you could Google how to find purpose. And those are two nice resources that are scientifically based that provide suggestions for people. So you can find think about what are your values, what are important to you, what are you good at? Deborah sounded like she's very good at caring for people and providing assistance for them. And where those needs are most needed in our communities to reach out. There are coordinators who are looking for volunteers in most of our counties throughout Wisconsin. But there's lots of social support services, people through their religious institutions, et cetera, that need help. And sometimes your purpose may not be that kind of role. You can think about other ways that you want to contribute or have purpose. One example that I just learned about today was a suggestion that you write your obituary, and you could do this at any age. You know, you could be a teenager, write your obituary, and think about what you want to be remembered for, and if that could be a driver to help you find what you want to work on. Another suggestion is to think about what would you do if you, for example, won the lottery, and if you wanted to win the lottery and travel, or if you wanted to win the lottery and, you know, provide some sort of help, whether it's for animals in a rescue society or for people. And then think about, okay, I didn't win the lottery, but how can I do this actually with my life that you know, how can I make it work? So those are some ways people can, you know, find or work towards purpose if you don't feel like you have enough or enough driving you right now.
Yeah. You know, I always thought it was worth a few bucks to buy a lottery ticket just because you go through that process. How would you spend the money? Who would you give money to? And I always thought that was well worth a couple of bucks for a ticket.
Maybe it is. Maybe it helped you, you know, have your meaning and purpose throughout your life. That's a great thing.
Deborah, thank you. Thank you for what you've done, and thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Mark in Wisconsin Dells, will go to you. Mark, hello.
Hi, Larry. I've got a question that you might be interested in. I'm a retired university professor, just like Larry is going to be shortly. And I wonder if you have any physiological information about what happens physiologically to somebody when they go from being the center of attention to suddenly being worthless or feeling like they are.
Yeah. Okay, well, all right. Mark, thanks.
Well, we have quite a bit of data looking at what happens as people age and whether, you know, people are aging faster, their bodies, their brains, or slower. And there are people who really rapidly decline with retirement, for instance, but not everybody. And since we're talking about purpose in life, it's one of the factors that often shows declines with age. So it's not stable. People's purpose can decline. But what is promising is it doesn't have to. And so one of the projects that we look at is to see what are the contributors to having higher purpose as people age into their 90s and beyond. And what does it mean, for example, their brains and their health? And the longer you can sustain purpose in life, the healthier your brain structure, the healthier brain function, the healthier cognition, the less likely you're to develop Alzheimer's disease, the less likely you're to die. So I'd say if you're feeling worthless, you're not worthless, right? And there are lots of ways you can still contribute or work towards so that you feel like you're having, you know, a meaningful life.
Yeah.
Every day.
And I'll just, since Mark brought mine at retirement, yeah. I'll just bring... So I'm going to retire in the end of June. So I have joined a kind of a service organization. Mm-hmm. I'm on a board that was going to be involved in some expansion of an early learning center. I've got another board group that I'm going to join. And there are other things, but... So I'm planning now.
Yeah.
I've already joined at least one organization that I hadn't been a member of. And because that group works with on things that I like and value, everything from children to service animals to veterans, working with veterans. So that's something I can look forward to because right. I don't have the time to do it now.
Right.
But I already am on board to do it. And there are friends who kind of said, hey, why don't you join, you know, that yeah. sort of thing. So I've got a group of friends already in that organization.
It sounds very healthy to be, you know, like basically you'll continue to have purpose. You'll be purposely engaged. But also, you know, you'll have growth in terms of new experiences and learning,
yeah.
meet new people,
yeah.
lots of social interaction. It's all a thumbs up in terms of healthy aging, honestly.
Mark, thank you so much. Rick and Monona, let's go to you. Rick, what have you got for us?
A lot. I think that this is really an interesting and important topic. There's a book that I remember reading called Man's Search for Meaning. And it's a book about the Holocaust and how people survived in prisoner of war camps in those Jewish gulags. The two times when I sort of that I can recall being sort of lost and not having meaning, one of them was when I got out of the Navy. and all of a sudden, all of this system that I had grown accustomed to, and all the friends that I made were gone, and I had nothing to replace it. And then the second one was when I retired. It was the same thing. It was giving up this business that I'd been in for such a long time, and all the friends that I had. And all of a sudden, you feel sort of lost, and you're really looking. And the only recommendation I can make is that those are the times when you really have to make the phone call, get out and meet people, like join organizations, or you really need to work at finding your purpose, finding what your next role in life is going to be.
You know, Rick, that great points there, I think. Stacy Schaefer, what about Dr. Stacy Schaefer?
Stacy's fun. Yeah, you're bringing up so many important things. You mentioned Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, and his writing and theorizing leads a lot of the work in purpose in life. So Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and a clinician who actually wrote about purpose in life and meaning in life, basically provided kind of therapy and counseling to fellow prisoners in concentration camp, and continued to write about it after surviving the concentration camp and developed his own form of therapy based on having meaning and purpose in life afterwards. And he did that all while losing his family in the concentration camp. So talk about somebody who learned to survive and even thrive through adversity and hardship. And he really put it into words in that he thought that people could survive anything if they had meaning and purpose in their life. And he's the best example I can think of.
Yeah.
And I think your take-home point about really when you lose people or feel alone, and loneliness, you know, is an epidemic in the U.S. that is as bad on your health as smoking in terms of disease and mortality. And having purpose can help reduce loneliness, and going out, seeking others, becoming part of communities, finding ways that you can work with people, get to know people, those are all crucial ways to really reach out and find strength in numbers and a community of social support. And social support is so crucial to all of our health and well-being. And it's a great way to have purpose is to find community and people that you can contribute to and who are going to also contribute to you as well.
Mm. Rick, thank you so much for calling. John in Orfordville has a comment. John, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Larry. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a retired educator, you know, I'm 74 now. I think it comes, or at least I try to live by the fact that, you know, especially in today's world, there's a lot of negativity, and we just can't, you know, I always tell my grandkids, anybody, that, hey, your glass has to be at least half full. And, you know, that is a pretty simple idea that there's people that have issues, and I've got a few, but there are so many others that are struggling, and so I can't let those things get me down. I'm still coaching at 50, this will be my 50th year, and you know, just things, working with the school yet, and being involved, volunteering, those kind of things. I think I may not be saying, okay, I'm going to have to do this, but I'm so busy now after I retired that, you know, I mean, I don't, and that's the way I think I want it. I'm not ready for the rocking chair, and I'm not going to think about that. You know, my age is just a number, and I think that's how we have to, or at least how I think, you know, it makes me more positive, and I think that's good for my mental health. And
yeah, John, I'll turn to you, Stacy. John sounds like he's on the right track.
I think so. And hopefully also helping, like you said, your grandkids. There are people who are trying to build interventions or approaches to build purpose and meaning in life in college students, adolescents, high schoolers, because it's something seen as could be protective throughout your life. And it sounds like you're doing a great job of maintaining it currently, but also building it in young adults and children is really something that is kind of a new area of research to see how we can foster mental health and well-being at a younger age.
And our guest coming up at the top of the hour, George Raymer, has written a book to his granddaughter about his life. And I'm telling you, it's a fascinating life that he's led, but he's reaching out in that way, but mm-hmm. at the same time, offering a lot for the rest of us.
Examples, as another way that people can find purpose or meaning, is to think about who are their role models and think about what they could do to try to emulate them might be a good way to.
So does it make a difference what age you are when you find your purpose?
Not that we know of. And honestly, I don't think that it necessarily is where somebody finds one purpose throughout their life. I think it's something mm-hmm. that is, you know, depends on who you are and what you are in terms of what matters to you. We've talked a lot about ways of helping people as a purpose, but some might be completely different. It may be, you know, focusing on the environment, saving the environment, or helping animals, or making money. For some people, that's their purpose. And we're not providing a judgment on what mm-hmm. the purpose is, right?
Sure.
But really, whether it's pro-social or more personal-based, if you have it, it is helpful to you.
I wonder about religion. Religious faith, I think there's some research on it mm-hmm. that folks who have a religion and are part of a congregation and so forth have a better chance of living longer than those who don't. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. And there, if you look at different biomarkers of health, such as like cardiovascular health in terms of, you know, what's your blood pressure? What's your cholesterol levels? What's your inflammatory levels? Your inflammation levels? Religion and beliefs and religious community can be very protective.
But do people of faith, do you have to be religious or part
no.
of it?
No. Clearly, there's lots of ways people can be resilient and thrive. And for some people, religion provides a really great resource in terms of community, coping with stress. Finding social support. There's lots of communities, even in Wisconsin, where they really come together and provide social support. But people don't have to believe in God to find different sources of resilience and social support and community as well.
Dr. Stacy Schaefer, our guest today, looking for life's purpose, living longer. Her research is showing some really interesting findings when it comes to your life, your health, and its relationship to purpose or purposes that you have in life. Questions, comment, or experience, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you with us today as we talk about life and life purpose and research that's going on relating to it with Dr. Stacy Schaefer. She's a neuroscientist and leader of the MIDAS Neuroscience Project at UW-Madison's Institute of Aging. Again, questions for her. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. 642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@wpr.org. Stacy, your area, one of your main areas of interest is brain health.
Right.
Talk about your work and maybe the work of some others.
So the project that I lead within the MIDAS study is what's called the Affect of Neuroscience Project. And we collaborate with all the other people who collect data on the same incredible participants to really combine it to learn what's the integration between somebody's life experiences, exposures, stressors, and what that means for their brains as they age. And when you're talking about purpose in life, what we see is that having higher levels of purpose in life seems to protect your brain as it's aging. And some of the surprising things that we're learning is we really expected purpose to slow down brain aging. But what we're seeing is actually better brain health throughout adulthood. So when we look at different factors like the size of your hippocampus in your brain, how the hippocampus is communicating with other parts of your brain, having higher levels of purpose, you have more robust and healthy hippocampi, and you see less aging-related changes in how this part of the brain that's really important for learning and memory actually communicates with the rest of the brain. And more research showing, in terms of the microstructure, that you have better microstructural health in your white matter, in your hippocampus, with higher levels of purpose in life. And it doesn't matter at what age. That's true across age. But there's lots of other interesting findings coming out about purpose in life. And some of this is very much still in the works because we're following the same participants. And now with the addition of Dr. Sterling Johnson here at the UW, we're getting Alzheimer's disease-related biomarkers in these same participants. And some of this is being followed up on research that has already come out from, for example, the Rush University's studies of aging and Alzheimer's disease. So there are a host of findings that have come out from these studies in Chicago, seeing that people who have higher levels of purpose in life, if they follow...
And this is the Rush study.
From the Rush study, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, yes, that have been published. And that people who have higher levels of purpose in life lived longer. They were less likely to experience cognitive decline or develop Alzheimer's disease. They were more able to take care of themselves and do their daily activities of living throughout time. But then as they followed people, and eventually people died, and they looked at their brains, even those people who had Alzheimer's disease pathology in their brains, if they reported higher levels of purpose in life while they're alive, it seemed to change the relationship between the Alzheimer's disease pathology in the brain and cognition, such that they had higher levels of cognition while still alive. So to me, there's this kind of magic happening that we still don't really understand in terms of purpose in life protecting cognition even when the brain is having neurodegeneration.
I know someone who lived alone for quite a long time and then needed to go to a facility because of that condition.
Mm-hmm.
And in seeing that person over time, that person actually, to me, got better. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly, I'm speculating, mm-hmm. but suddenly there were other people, meeting other people, mm-hmm. learning their backstories. And probably there was some nutrition better nutrition that helped matters. But it was like almost, and not a reversal,
mm-hmm.
but just so much better life.
Right. Yeah. So that's trying to increase what we call the health span, how people are even if you're in assisted living or nursing care facilities, you know, life can be worth living or cannot. And trying to improve people's life, even in the situation where you have Alzheimer's disease, is doable. And it though requires a community of people. And people need social interaction. And if you're at home alone, a lot of people don't eat well as they get older, especially living alone. All those factors, sleep, nutrition, exercise, social interaction, they're all critical. And purpose in life, is related to all of those things. So people who have higher levels of purpose in life, actually this is another study that has come out of Rush, as well as other places, mm-hmm. people who have higher levels of purpose in life are more likely to engage in social activities, have better health behaviors, exercise more, eat better, go to the doctor more, and actually, you know, seek treatment if needed. So there's a whole constellation of kind of healthy practices that having purpose and meaning in life are related to. And it's kind of a chicken and the egg problem right
sure.
now in terms of what's driving what, but clearly it seems to be healthy. It's motivating to stay healthy if you feel like you have purpose, even if it's, I have to stay alive so my dog gets walked every day and is cared for. You know, there's a whole constellation of behaviors of having that purpose of taking care for an animal, for instance, that can be purposeful, meaningful, and good for your health.
Peter and Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Peter, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. So I'm a 41-year-old male in Madison, and I understand that a lot of the topics revolve around retirement age and how to stay active and how to get out in the community. It seems to me that in this time of social media, you know, people might have a lot to say, but perhaps they don't know where to go or what to do. I myself am just starting my volunteer career and finding purpose, if you will. And I've been going to the Capitol lately because I've been unhappy. And I'm just curious I'd like to hear more about suggestions for my age group and younger.
Yeah. And, of course, your research, as you're talking about, really spans from 20 to 75. That's the
oldest participant was 95, but they're coming back now. So we might get into the hundreds.
So what about finding purpose then?
So everything
at 40.
Everything we've talked about, I think, is relevant at all ages, honestly. Whether it's volunteering or doing things that you think are meaningful, activism is definitely one of them. I think paying attention to the news, voting, mm-hmm. knowing enough about what's going on to care about what's happening in our world, that can be purposeful and meaningful. It can also take a toll, so we need to, you know, balance what we can do. But taking a stand and really contributing where you think you are needed to stop wrongs or contribute to what's right, I share those same kind of meaningful activities with you.
Peter, thank you very much for calling. Brad had emailed wondering about his elderly parents who don't have the energy they used to, helping them continue to find purpose and meaning.
Well, what do they like? Is there ways that they can stay active, whether it's going for a walk in a neighborhood or if they're, you know, for example, still even in wheelchairs, going to, if you're in Madison, for instance, Olbrich and going to the gardens there, whether it's going shopping. There's think about if they have skills or knowledge or expertise they could share with others. There's community centers where you can go to engage with others. There's exercise, there's social programs, learning programs, people in assisted facility programs. There are places there to share your travel experiences, like the next speaker, life experiences. A lot of it is finding what drives the individual person and what makes them engaged. Some of the research that's done in people with even severe Alzheimer's disease is finding what still might interest somebody. Say they are disabled and not able to move, but they always enjoyed gardening. Sometimes just putting some plants in front of them, having them repot the plants, take care of the plants, could be something to get somebody who might be somewhat uncommunicative suddenly more engaged. Same with children and animals. Think about what really their interests are and try to appeal there.
It's probably too hard to tell, but I wondered about the blip that came about with suddenly everybody working remotely. Amy had emailed, suddenly she has to work harder to find social networks. Did anything show up in the research, or is it too early to tell on that?
It's too early for the research that I'm doing, to be honest.
Sure.
But there's other research that others are doing in terms of looking at whether, even during the pandemic, for instance, social isolation, loneliness levels. And I think one of the most striking findings from the pandemic was everybody was so worried about older folks and their loneliness levels, but it was really the youngest who showed the worst mental health impacts of the pandemic, and adolescents and teenagers and young adults. So the older adults were really more robust to the impacts of the pandemic and socialization than younger people. And so it's something to think about, again, at all ages, that we all need social connection and how to do it. Is it through volunteering? Is it through going to gyms or other recreational facilities, playing sports? It's something that we talk about a lot in my community at work, where a lot of us admit that flexibility, being able to work at home a day or two a week, is a wonderful thing, but to work at home constantly would not be healthy for us because we learn so much from each other and get the social support just even amongst, you know, my neuroscience team members, who are a phenomenal mm-hmm. group of people. We need each other, and doing it all over online, remote work, or Zoom isn't the same. There's something about just seeing each other every day at the office that's really helpful.
Amen to that. We have, on occasion, we'll have people that are out and working. They're not here. Yeah. And right here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's always a pleasure when you run into people in the hallway and mm-hmm. have a chance to talk and so forth. Denise wonders, well, Denise in Madison has something. Let's go there. Hi, Denise.
Hi. I was back to the issue of caring. The definition of the word, of course, means something different to different people. But to spend part of your journey in paying attention to yourself and what gives you happiness and that sense of connection, and paying attention to what's around you that might benefit from that. And also that you want to make sure that your caring is as much about them as it is about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Comment?
I think it's a good point that We all need to take care of ourselves. And so we've talked, for example, a lot about volunteering, but there's a maximal amount that's healthy, right? So everything that we talk about, there's always a bit where you could go overboard or too much. And I think that having purpose and meaning in life where you're caring for others, but also caring for what's protective for you, is you have to find, we have to all find that balance of what works for us.
Do something for yourself.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I will play golf a little bit. That'll be my self-care and friends, you know?
Yeah.
You need all of those. And, you know, we have all kinds of callers online, but we're out of time. And Stacy, it's been a real pleasure. Maybe we can get you back and do this again. Thank you.
I would love to. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Stacy Schaefer is a neuroscientist, leader of the MIDAS, Midlife Development in the U.S. Neuroscience Project at UW-Madison's Institute of Aging. Pleasure to have her with us. And coming up, we mentioned him just in passing. George Raymer has written a book about his life and his purposes in life. And it's a fascinating book. And we'll talk about that next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.